Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
We have had an incredible run of weather, and it looks like it's going to be warm and windy. Red flag warnings up on Sunday, including the Twin Cities metro area. We're going to go outdoors right now. Steve Kearney joins us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
It was a great day on the water today, Steve. Good afternoon. The big opener, a lot of people out. I tried to pick a really obscure lake down by Elbow Lake in Barrett, Minnesota, just to kind of, you know, get away from the crowds. And I didn't get away from the crowds. There were just a ton of people. You know, it was such a beautiful day, but the bite was fantastic. It was just incredible. We got on the water about 7 o'clock. Caught walleyes in very shallow water, 6 to 8 feet of water, and they're spawning areas by boulders and fist-sized rocks, you know, right where the wind was hitting it, and it was great. And then we stumbled into a bunch of big crappies, so it was a great morning. I think that wind helped a lot. There was a pretty good chop going, and, you know, they're up on those shallow rocks right now, both the walleyes and the crappies. So I think people who are fishing, you know, fairly close to the spawning areas where there's good rock and rubble, that's the place to be. So it was awesome. It was a fantastic morning, and I'm not really happy about the wind, Steve, coming up here the next 5 to 7 days. I think that's going to be a bit of an issue. Not happy about it. So I don't know. It's hard to say if those fish are going to stay where they are, but it was a very successful morning. Very happy about it.
Yeah. And you sent a photo before we went on the air. I love the photos because I can live vicariously through you in the outdoors and all your success year round. That's pretty cool.
Well, you got to have proof, Steve. You know, fishermen will tell you all kinds of stuff, but I got to see pictures, you know.
Well, I've known you a long time, and I trust you when you say you were on fish, but those are nice fish. Very nice. I know it's radio. But that's good stuff.
You know, the jigging minnow was really king this morning, and they really liked the small sucker minnows and the really small fatheads. They really had a preference for small bait. I don't know why. But, you know, the key this morning was keeping that bait well away from the boat. I saw a lot of people vertical jigging right next to the boat, which you really can't do at this time of the year. The water clarity is fairly clear, so you got to get that jigging minnow well away from the boat. And just hop it along and, you know, very slow and, you know, let the wind take it. And that worked really well. But, you know, vertical jigging works fine on really super dark water. But, you know, a lot of our lakes are fairly clear, a little bit stained. So you got to keep that bait well away from the boat. And I can't say I saw a lot of nets flying today. There were, you know, maybe 40 boats on the lake I was on. And I didn't see a lot of action, but, you know, you never know. But I made the good lake choice, especially. I went to a farm lake, a very small lake, about 400 acres, and it was about 64 degrees water temperature, which is well ahead of the big water up here. So it was a good move, and I highly recommend to that west central part of Minnesota and all those farm lakes because right now they're very fertile. There's good populations of walleyes and crappies. So I had to drive a little bit, but that's okay. It was well worth it.
Yeah, and to get a warm opener, I know a lot of people I work with during the week in my full-time job were excited to get out for the opener, and we were kind of joking. We haven't seen many openers with weather this good over the years. I mean, I can't remember too many.
I think that really the key to success this morning was we've had 7 days of 70s and 80s. No fronts coming through, and the wind has been consistent. And I knew this was going to be a good opener because we never, ever get 7 days straight of the same weather right before the opener. So I think that had a lot to do with it. But we'll get some reports this week, see what's happening elsewhere. I think overall it's probably going to be a very successful opener just because, again, the weather. But now we got that change coming in tonight, and there's going to be a wind shift, and things are going to change a little bit. So tomorrow could be a little bumpy. Monday and Tuesday, heavy winds. Wednesday, Thursday look like heavy winds. So it's going to, limit where we can go and how we can do it. So it's going to make it a little dicey, I think, for the next week, which is too bad because I'm on fish right now, but I don't want to deal with 40 mile an hour gusts, you know?
Yeah, and there's a huge area, red flag warnings, and we just want to throw out that out there for everybody. Here in the cities, red flag warning goes into effect tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. on Mother's Day and will last until 10. It's going to be windy. It's going to be warm. It's going to be downright hot and very dry with low humidities. And once again, a good chunk of the region impacted by those red flag warnings, and it's really going to, as you pointed out, continue into Monday, so be very, very careful indeed out and about. Hey, Steve, with things a little more unsettled this coming week, what are your plans?
Steve, I don't know. I don't know. I'm actually just procrastinating. What am I going to do? Because I've got, commitments this week, and I really don't like the weather. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm totally flummoxed on what I'm going to do. So I'll have to come up with a plan in the next day or two. I know Monday, Tuesday is out, but maybe things will moderate a little bit. But, that's what happens. You get on a good bite, and then it's like 40 mile an hour winds. Oh, man, that's just not what you want. But eventually it'll straighten out. But happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there fishing. I know the fishing licenses are up significantly, which is really good. So the mothers are getting out there and the kids. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good happy Mother's Day to all the moms. And once again, hopefully everybody had a good bite this weekend. Steve, always appreciate the update, and we'll do it again in 1 week.
Hey, sounds great, Steve. Have a great one.
There he is, Steve Carney. He sent me a photo, some beautiful fish. Great day to be out and about for sure. And then, of course, that red flag warning. Really raising eyebrows tomorrow, so by all means, take care tomorrow. Coming up around the corner, we'll talk Timberwolves and Warriors Game 3 tonight in San Francisco. Jace Frederick covers the club for the Pioneer Press. He will join us. By the way, our outdoors coverage continues tomorrow following the Twins and Giants' final game of the three-game series on Mother's Day. Rob Dreisein has great guests, tons of great info, and a lot of info on the opener. That's Rob from the Outdoor News tomorrow between 5 and 6 here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Twins and Giants later. Twins, with a win, keep the streak going and get to 500. Didn't seem possible in the middle of April that they would get back to 500 this quickly, but here we are on the brink. Joe Ryan, feeling better, will be on the mound tonight. And our lineup card at 5:30, first pitch after 6. Twins and Giants from Target Field may get a brief shower, but weather not a factor for this Saturday night tilt. I would assume the weather's good in the Bay Area. They're playing indoors. The Timberwolves and Warriors game 3 tonight. Jace Frederick covers the team for the Pioneer Press, and his work available online at TwinCities.com. Jace, I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great, Steve. Weather is good. 69 and sunny.
Yeah, this is a recording. I've heard outside of the occasional fog, the weather's pretty good in the Bay Area.
Yeah, well, my first taste of it, I can't speak to how often it usually is, but it's living up to the hype.
Yeah, I've heard it's lovely. I like L.A. and San Diego better weather-wise, but the Bay Area, for the most part, pretty good. This series has certainly been a roller coaster ride. We've seen big-name injuries. The Timberwolves played poorly in Game 1. They bounce back and handle the Warriors, and we go on to Game 3 tonight. And what we've learned about this Timberwolves team, Jay, is all season long, you really never know night to night, even though in the first round of the playoffs they were pretty darn good, except for that loss to the Lakers. I believe in Game 2 they pretty much dominated there. But here we are on the roller coaster ride early in the series.
Yeah, I mean, certainly Game 1, that was pretty inexcusable. They didn't do anything well. Steph went down early in the second quarter of that game, and they were largely outplayed from there by an undermanned Warriors team that is frankly built around Steph and is at a very major disadvantage when he's not available. So that was really poor, and then they certainly answered the call in Game 2. And that should kind of be the expectation, I think, for the rest of this series. Like as long as Steph is out, which I would suspect is still probably at least Game 6, they don't have much reason, I think, to not kind of be the ones driving the bus in this series on a night-to-night basis.
Yeah. Anthony Edwards, what's the story with Ant? I know anytime he goes down, it looks like, oh, this could be it. He could be out for the year. And then he miraculously bounces back. What about Ant for Game 3 tonight?
Yeah, he's, listed as totally available to go, and that's about it, which is kind of what you would expect, frankly. It's one of those things where I almost feel, like, guilty because every time he goes down and he's getting carried, like, helps off the court, I've seen it, like, 20 times this year. So every time somebody's like, oh, my gosh, I'm like, all right, he's going to be all right. And his teammates just kind of laugh and stuff, too, like, all right, we'll see you in a bit. It just kind of is what it is, and, like, he certainly does bounce back really well every time, and his players will – his teammates will give him a little bit of ribbing of like, oh, was that really necessary? That response there. But it's the Wolves will take it. Some of the ones, Ken looked pretty bad, but he just bounces right back and is ready to roll, 10 minutes later. So that's definitely been a luxury for Minnesota, his ability to kind of, his body's ability to respond and endure just about anything.
Well, they showed the replay and it looked like it could be bad. I mean, super slow-mo. I'm like, that doesn't look good. And if he would have missed game three or even more, I don't think anybody would have been surprised. It is extraordinary, his healing power and what he's able to maybe play through.
True, yeah. I don't know what it is, but we've seen him with like ankle turns and stuff that look pretty bad, and they look like they'd be multiple game things, and yet I can only really recall him missing like a couple games over his career with ankle stuff. So whatever it is, his body just has a way of responding to where, he can come back and play, and it's not just an adrenaline thing. There's the next night or two days later, whatever, he's out there again. So that's Chris Finch noted after the game. Like, there are multiple things that you benefit from being just an elite-level athlete, and his ability to recoup is certainly another one.
When this team got off to a slow start, there was a lot of talk about, was the trade the right thing? Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo for Karl-Anthony Towns. By the way, Cat and the Knicks in the playoffs, Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo into round number two for the Timberwolves. So, on the surface, it is certainly worked out. And the Timberwolves struggled out of the gate, and there was talk about that trade. And then there was talk about Chris Finch and, is he the right guy for the job? Here we are in the second round of the playoffs, and you have a piece on Finch and how he's managed this team, and one guy in particular in Julius Randle.
Yeah, Finch has gotten the best out of Randle, which I think was kind of the hope all along, is that, hey, Randle's this guy who's been very productive. He's been an all-NBA player, but how do you maximize him and fit him into what you want to accomplish as a team? And Chris Finch had a lot of confidence that he could do that from their time together when Finch was an assistant in New Orleans, and Randle and Finch glowed about one another when Randle arrived here. And it's worked out that way, frankly. Finch has, like, hey, sometimes Julius Randle doesn't close games or whatever. Sometimes Julius Randle's the focal point of what they're doing, whatever is best fit to the team any night. They have that relationship where Randle knows that Finch is acting in the best interest of the team, and Randall's done his best to fit around whatever way fits best for the team. And a lot of times it's been a lot of, especially in the playoffs here, Randle-heavy stuff, and that's benefited Minnesota too. So Finch can be hard on him, but Finch will also praise him to no end. So, like, those two guys have really connected. And Finch kind of has that way with every player, frankly. Like, he manages to build relationships that allows him to be critical because he shows that he cares and he shows he's got your back at all other points.
James Frederick joining us from the Pioneer Press, covers the Timberwolves, and he's here on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Game 3 coming up from San Francisco tonight, 7:30 our time. I wouldn't even mind a 9 o'clock start central on a Saturday night. It's not a school night. I don't need to get up for work or anything like that. And here we go at 7:30, so very, very pleasant start time for everyone tonight. Couple other things when it comes to this team in the series. Rudy Gobert, there was a lot of hand-wringing about what Rudy Gobert brought to the table early in the Lakers series, and then ultimately has come up big at times in the playoffs and still has an important role on this team.
Yeah, it's very much one of those things where offensively we have seen the Lakers and now the Warriors kind of leave him to try to take away other things and basically dare teams to hey, dare the Wolves to feed Rudy. Like, hey, you know what? We will recover if we need to, if you're actually going to get him the ball and if he's actually going to capitalize on it, and then we'll adjust maybe accordingly. And finally in game 5 against the Lakers, Gobert and the Wolves made the Lakers pay. But the Warriors have done the same thing, and Rudy hasn't been super effective offensively. And there have been times where that looks like Minnesota's worst offense, and it's kind of clogging things up for them and slowing them down. But he's still like their best defensive player, even when that's happening. And they're still generally playing winning basketball when he's out there. So it's an interesting balance because it has looked ugly sometimes offensively and really largely outside of that game five against LA. But, you know, they still know how important he is. I mean, it's still, even if it's an eyesore, it's a lot of winning basketball when he's out there. So it's been an interesting juggling act, but I think they know, like, okay, Rudy will have his good offensive games, and even when he doesn't, we can live with the minutes.
Yeah, and defensively and ultimately getting key stops is huge, and if he can be a part of that, he'll certainly have a role, even if he isn't playing at the end of most games when they're trying to close it out. Getting key stops, whether it's in the second quarter or third quarter, can still contribute.
Yeah, and especially in this series. Like, I mean, I think the over-under tonight is like 200.5, which is incredibly low for an NBA game. And it's just, that's just kind of how it's going to be, though. Like, the Warriors are a good defensive team, and without Curry, they still have a lot of great defensive personnel, and frankly, they might get a little stronger on that end, even though Steph's probably an underrated defender. But, like, the Wolves are going to win these games by keeping Golden State to 95 points or less, and Rudy helps you do that. And that's, like you said, that can be second quarter, third quarter. There can be a lot of times where it's just like Golden State doesn't have a lot right now offensively, and a lot of what they do have is guys who can maybe get to the interior, and Rudy makes that a lot more difficult. And so I do think that in their pursuit of keeping Golden State to probably like 40% shooting and probably like 90 points, like Rudy aids in those efforts, even if, you know, maybe he might score 5 points less offensively because he's out there.
About Golden State, we know about Curry could return later in the series. Is that still the word today, Jace?
Yeah. You know, their reevaluation would suggest like if the day they're going to reevaluate him is like game five, but that just seems okay. So it, everything, like even the reporting, I think Sean Ferranio from ESPN said game six is the most likely time. And that makes sense because every window that anybody talks about with these grade one hamstring strains is 7 to 10 days. And game five would be 7. And they don't want to push Steph Curry at his age out there before he's ready. Game six would be 12 days because of that huge gap in between five and six. So that is almost certainly their target date. And for the Warriors, they have to try to just win one of these next three games to force a game six. And see if they can then take two from Minnesota with their best player out there after that.
Draymond Green, a controversial figure. He's had run-ins with the Wolves over the years, speaking of Rudy Gobert and that incident. And then, of course, the ugly incident at Target Center, Draymond Green. And it seems as though the Timberwolves handled the fans correctly and dealt with it, and it seems as though the Warriors have responded correctly to an ugly incident at Target Center.
Yeah, we're just having too much of this in basketball in general and sports. I think people just yelling nasty things as if players aren't people, you know, and just doing it thinking that, you know, they're immune for anything and that because they bought a ticket, they can say and do whatever they want. Target Center security ejected one fan, and then the other fan that kudos to the fans around the one fan who was saying racial slurs towards Green. They were like, hey, this is a person you need to get out of here. But that person left before they could be kind of apprehended or approached by security. But the Wolves said they're looking into that, finding that person as well, and taking further action. And they're still ongoing with that investigation, and we haven't heard anything else about that. But yeah, I think the Warriors and Steve Kerr said this, like, you know, it was an appropriate response from Minnesota. They put out the statement, they've taken the actions they can take, they are investigating, and then they go from there. So yeah, I mean, it's the best from the team's perspective that you can do, but fans have to be better. And I know it's just a few, you know, it's not the collective. And even Kerr said, hey, I don't think of Minneapolis any differently because of this, but you know, we never heard what Jimmy Butler's heard after game one. But he said then, like, hey, I understand the boost every time I get the ball and stuff, but just, like, watch your mouth, you know? And that's exactly it. Like, you know what you can say and what's all kind of in the good fun of sports and what just crosses a clear line. And so I don't know. It would be great if – it'll never happen with everybody. I'll never bat 1,000 on it, but it would sure be great if all fans could kind of toe that line responsibly and just stay on the side of it where, hey, yeah, this is pro sports. You can boo, you can jeer, but do so in a semi-respectable manner.
Well, and the NBA is such a unique situation because the fans are right on the floor and pay big bucks to be in the first 3 to 5 rows and be that close. You know, in the NHL, you're separated by the boards and the glass. Football, you're a long way away from the field. Maybe you're in shouting distance of the benches. Maybe. in MLB, it can be down by the dugout and in the outfield pretty close to the players. But nothing like the NBA. It is a unique atmosphere.
Yeah, 100%. You literally inbound the ball like right next to somebody. It'll be the way it's set up oftentimes. It's like, hey, here's the coach at the front of the bench. And who's sitting to the left of the coach is like a courtside fan, you know, like. You're basically like, me and Steve Kerr are watching the game. But everybody within 10 rows can easily be heard from the court. And then you get into, like, Draymond Green, who's, you know, where these bikes, these stationary bikes are usually located and, like, the exits into the tunnels. And then that brings in a whole different segment of fans who are right there by the player. So a lot of people with a lot of access to be within earshot with the things that they say and do. And, yeah, you're right. So then, like, it just opens up the scope of, like, you know, one person who wants to say the wrong thing, that's definitely going to get to the player, and that's just not how it should be.
Yeah, just bad behavior. Jace Frederick joining us from the Pioneer Press. Jace, one final thought, and that is an arena. You would assume Mark Lorry, Alex Rodriguez, covet a new building in Minneapolis. What about this building in the Bay Area? I would assume they'd like something like that here someday.
Yeah, I've never been there before. About to head there after this, but I've heard nothing but great things about it. Certainly, it's at the highest end of NBA arenas. And exactly what Minnesota goes after, you know, obviously the behind the scenes, they've talked about the push for an arena, and obviously that push will become louder and be put more to the forefront when the season ends, and they do take that controlling ownership after the Board of Governors passes. And approves Lorry and Rodriguez, which is expected. So then we'll kind of find out, like, hey, okay, where exactly do they want to put this? How big do they want to dream for this? What are the plans for this? How are they going to fund this? All that kind of stuff. But they certainly do have a blueprint in Chase Center of what it can look like and what they probably want it to look like.
Well, yeah, and then the Clippers' new building in L.A., I've seen some of the videos of that. Yeah. That's insane. I don't know if they'll get that done, but that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, that's the benchmarks are almost getting so high to the point where it's like, is this necessary? You know, but I guess whatever you can pay for, great. Steve Ballmer certainly has spared no expense with anything with the Clippers organization. So it's setting a high bar if you expect every new arena to top the one built before it. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of cool ideas out there that anybody can look to emulate should they choose to.
All right, Jace, thanks so much for the time today. Look forward to your coverage.
Awesome. Sounds good, Steve. Have a good one.
All right. There he is, Jace Frederick of the Pioneer Press. Online, TwinCities.com. Does a great job covering the Timberwolves and other sports for the Pioneer Press. Quick break. We'll have an update on the weather. Warm, hot, windy Mother's Day. Red flag warning for tomorrow in these parts. Twins and Giants on the radio later here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
So the Twins on a roll right now. They have game two of the three-game set with the Giants coming up at Target Field tonight. We're going to count you down to the lineup card at 5:30, and then first pitch tonight at 6:15. The weather is going to be good. Once again, the Twins and the Giants, Webb against Ryan. Joe Ryan missed his last start. They pushed it back to today. He was really sick, and we'll get more on that part of the story with Bobby Nightingale from the Star Tribune following the news and weather at 5 out of the writer's corner. But the Twins climbing the ladder in the division. And with that said, the Tigers keep winning, so it's been hard for the Twins to gain ground in the American League Central Division, but they're now a win away from getting back to 500. And when you're underwater like the Twins were early in the season, getting back to 500 is job number one. At the moment in the AL Central, Detroit, they're at 26-13 playing good ball. They were a playoff team a year ago, a big surprise. They lead the Guardians by 2.5 and the Royals by 2.5. And the Twins still 7 back, but now 19-20. So job one, get another win and get back to 500. They've won 6 games in a row, and the Twins playing well at Target Field, 13-6 this year at home at Target Field. So the Twins, while they haven't been able to gain a ton of ground on the Tigers, they're 8-2 in their last 10. The Guardians 8-2 in their last 10. How about Kansas City? They went into that slump. They're now 9-1 in their last 10 games. They've won 7 in a row. And the Twins, it's a good thing they've been on a hot streak and have won those 6 straight. The Twins 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, let's get to the highlights from last night. And I'm going to kind of bury the lead a little bit, and the lead is Chris Paddock. But you got to talk about some of the other things the Twins did well in the game last night. One of my favorite plays, going to the ballpark. Whether you go to Target Field and see a major league game, or you go over to St. Paul and CHS Field to see the Saints in a AAA game, whatever the level, this has got to be my favorite play. And you can tell Dan Gladden likes it as well.
Of late in particular, and he hits the first pitch high in the air to right field. Yastrzemski chasing after it. That one's high off the wall and bounces
triple,
back. Yastrzemski.
Triple.
Byron turns at second. Byron's headed for third. Byron slides in safely. And there's your triple for Byron Buxton.
I don't know about you, Lindsey Brown. By the way, Lindsey's our producer on the program today. That is my favorite offensive play in a major league game. Sure, a grand slam is great and home runs are great. But a speedster like Byron Buxton legging out a triple, that's as good as it gets.
I agree. I like to have my baseball players involved in a play, right? I want some suspense. I want some uncertainty. And I want Byron Buxton to win it at all in the end. And so at least we have that going for us most nights.
Yeah, and he's been really good. And I just have said this all along, and I think a lot of people have as well, that when healthy, when right, this guy is a five-tool player, an MVP-caliber talent. And like the triple, you're Dan Gladden. How many games has he played in and seen in his career in the major leagues as a player and a broadcaster? And you could tell he was having fun with that triple, and that was really cool. And then Trevor Larnach picked him up.
Buxton down the line, and Larnach loops one to left field. That's going to drop, and Buxton will score. Just the way you draw it up, it's 1-0 Twins.
Chris Atterbury on the call, and that's good stuff. And then another key guy, and Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa, they make the big bucks. And if the Twins are going to get anything done this year, those guys need to be in the middle of it. And Carlos Correa delivered in the fourth.
Here's Correa to bat. Ground ball right side. That's going to be a base hit. France going to be waved around. Yastrzemski with the throw to the plate, strong arm. It's cut off by Lamont Wade, and they're going to go ahead and tag out Correa, forcing him to cut the ball. The run will count 2-0 Minnesota.
turned out to be the game winner as the Twins go on to a 3-1 victory. And Chris Paddock was the story. Veteran pitcher, came in, has had a ton of injuries in his career, and very likely his best start as a Twin last night.
And the pitch is swung on and foul tipped into the glove, and he struck him out. Yastrzemski strikes out, and there's one away for Paddock.
Yeah, just a dominant night all the way around. And Paddock talked about his goals going into the start on Friday night at Target Field.
And I kept it simple. I told Jeffers, first pitch strikes tonight. I want to get back of attacking the zone. Haven't been pleased with my walks the last seven starts. And that was my goal going in. And 20 for 25, first pitch strikes. Sometimes we make this game harder as pitchers because we're also really good. And what I do best is I attack the zone. Hitters know that, but I also know that. And tonight was a perfect example of that.
Yeah, really good news. The Twins have been getting terrific pitching as of late. Paddock goes 7 1/3, 3 hits, 1 run. It was earned. 6 strikeouts, another huge number. No walks in the start last night. The manager, Rocco Baldelli, talked about his start.
He came out firing. He was all over the strike zone. He made that happen. I mean, he was awesome. He was, it was like guns blazing, great fastball, off-speed stuff, commanded and used it about as well as I've seen him.
Yeah. Yeah, great night, Chris Paddock, and the Twins get the 3-1 victory over the Giants last night. Ryan Jeffers talked about the thoughts of a perfect game as we got to the middle innings.
Yeah, you started to kind of get to that, what was it, when he gave it up, was it the 6? Yeah, I think that's starting to get to the point where you're thinking about it a little bit. You think about it, but that's when you start to kind of get the little bit nervous jitters there, a little bit.
Yeah, Varland and Colum close it out, and Chris Paddock gets a win. He is now 1-3. Outstanding start as the Twins get the victory. Game 2 coming up around the corner. We're going to talk about the Twins' week of service, and we'll get into that in a moment. Bobby Nightingale following the news and weather at 5, and then we'll count you down to the lineup card at 5:30 here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Twins and Giants, game 2 of the 3-game set. Twins with a win, extend the streak to 7 and get back to 500 in the American League Central Division. And really good stuff going on right now. The Minnesota Twins, their annual organization-wide week of service started on May 7th, continues through the 14th. And good enough to join us on the line right now, Kristen Rortvedt, Executive Director of the Twins Community Fund and Twins Senior Director of Community Events. Kristen, good to visit with you. Thanks for the time today.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Glad to chat with you.
Yeah, and some really cool things as part of this week of service.
Yeah, it's been such a fun week. This is the fourth year that we've done this week of service, and it's an opportunity for our players at every level of the organization to get involved. So we have volunteer projects that are happening everywhere from the Twin Cities to Wichita to Cedar Rapids all the way down to the Dominican Republic. So it's been a fun week for sure.
Yeah, and this is so well received. I know it started with or one of the big ones was that glove giveaway on Thursday. That's terrific.
Yeah, that's a fun one that we love to do. We partner with the Minneapolis and St. Paul Parks Department, and we give away about 3,000 gloves. And it's so important for us to be able to help kids have whatever they need to play the game. And so for a bunch of the kids that came out on Thursday, that's their first glove. And it's a glove that hopefully they'll have for a number of years, and it'll be fun for them to play with for a number of times. And it was great to have a couple of players come out on Thursday. Bailey Ober came out after he pitched that day, and then Royce also came out and joined us. And so to spread some of that passion for the game is really a cool experience.
And this speaks to the work of the Twins Community Fund and what it's been doing for years and years.
Yeah, we really want to grow the game of baseball and softball. But for us, it's about removing barriers, you know, making sure that kids have safe places to play, that they have quality equipment and good coaching. So we have a bunch of grants where we're providing funds to communities across Twins territory to make sure that if a field needs to be redone, that communities have the dollars to do that. If you need to redo your backstop, if you need new sod, we're here to help. And we've done equipment kits for communities so that they can all have new equipment. You know, we hear these stories about young people playing with, you know, 40-year-old equipment and bad shoes and all of that. So if we can help in some small way to keep kids playing, that's what it's really all about.
And Kristen, before we run out of time, how do people find out more about the Twins Community Fund, the events during this week of service, but all the events year-round?
Yeah, absolutely. The easiest way is to go to twinscommunityfund.org. You can just Google the Twins Community Fund. But twinscommunityfund.org is our website, and they can learn about the week of service events that we have going on. Follow along on our social media platforms, obviously. That's where you can see the most up-to-date pictures of the actual events. But on the website, you can find out about our grants. But then we're also just kicking off last weekend was our, we kicked off our clinic program where we go to about 50 communities across the upper Midwest to provide instructional training to kids. So go to the website and check out all the events.
Well, Kristen, always good to visit with you, and thanks for the update.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Have a great week.
Kristen Rohrvedt, Executive Director of the Minnesota Twins Community Fund and Twins Senior Director of Community Engagement. Week of service continues not only in the big leagues, but across the Twins minor league system. Twins and Giants coming up. We'll have the news and weather. Bobby Nightingale in the writer's corner. We'll count you down to the lineup card beginning at 5:30 on a great Saturday night from Target Field.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.